This is KHSU. My name's Katie. And guess what? In the studio with me today is Marlon Gill. Good afternoon, Marlon.
Good afternoon. Buenas tardes.
How are you doing?
Muy bien.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So today, you're back because we're going to talk about another tour that the Permaculture Guild is doing. And this is next Tuesday.
Yep. So this is the second of our monthly summer lecture series. Last month, we had a great tour of our homestead in Freshwater, which was a spectacular turnout, and tons of people from all over the county showed up. And
did they learn?
Oh man, we geeked out big time.
Geeked out.
It was a lot of fun. just talked about all kinds of cool permaculture design strategies and how to implement them in the landscape. So that was really rewarding. So we're gearing up for July's meeting. Mm-hmm. So this time around, we're going to another homestead here in Bayside. The property has been owned for the last 17 years by Dick Hanses, who's a retired HSU professor from Environmental Science Department. And he's been practicing and learning about permaculture for the last 17 years on his land there. And it's incredible, really, what he's done over the years. He's got a multitude of edible and ornamental and wildlife providing plants that he's put on the landscape over the last, so many years. And we've been doing some really cool stuff over the last few years. And that's what this next tour is going to be focused on.
Now, you and he have been working together on his land, or is it just him doing it?
Well, the way it started actually was since we moved the Seed and Plant Exchange to the Arcata Community Center about 5 years ago, we've been offering a workshop that's taught by Mark DuPont from Sandy Bar Ranch in Orleans. He's taught his fruit tree grafting workshop there for a few years. And so in 2003, we decided to offer a hands-on workshop. And so what we did was the day after the Seed and Plant Exchange, we went over to Dick's place here in Bayside, and we offered a hands-on workshop, and it was awesome. We basically, what we did was we converted fruit trees from one variety to another, and it was a hands-on experience. And from that workshop, we decided to inaugurate the first fruit tree and scion exchange for Humboldt County. So then in 2004, we had the inaugural fruit tree and scion exchange there at his property. And that was also a hands-on workshop where we had Sam Pauly from Streamline Planning teach a hands-on workshop on how to graft. And so we grafted, everybody there got to graft on fruit trees. And then ever since then, we've just been grafting fruit trees on his property just as friends and as a community. And so it's become kind of an experimental laboratory of all kinds of cool varieties and trees that have been changed over the years.
So, Marlon, for people who don't know what grafting is, can you kind of tell us about that? How does that work?
So, for most target fruit that we think of, like apples, pears, plums, peaches, even persimmon and citrus and a multitude of different fruits that we're used to eating, they're propagated by a technique known as grafting, which allows you to basically reproduce a specific variety of that fruit. And so what's typically done is nurseries do this on a large scale, but they acquire a rootstock that has a certain kind of quality, such as vigor or size, and then they basically graft another variety onto that rootstock to create a tree. And so you do that by cutting both the rootstock and the target fruit stock, and then you fuse them together, and then they naturally basically bind into one individual.
How do you fuse them?
Well, you can graft in a multitude.
Not glue.
The tree glues itself. They glue themselves to one another essentially naturally. And grafting can be done in a myriad of ways. You can cut a whole tree down and graft into the bark, or you can cut a branch that's the same diameter of the target variety branch that you have, and then you can fuse them as a whip graft, which basically looks like, you're just basically cutting them at an angle so that they look the same. Basically, when you're done grafting them, it just looks like one twig. So there's that kind, there's bud grafting, there's a multitude of different techniques that you can use to put one cultivar onto an existing tree.
Is one way better than another?
No, it just depends on what you're doing and what varieties you're working with. Yeah, definitely. And also the tree age, because rootstock that's young is thin in diameter, so you're usually going to whip graft that. But when you're grafting onto existing old trees, mm-hmm. then you're dealing with a tree that could be a large diameter. And so in that situation, you're typically doing a bark graft, but you can also whip graft onto an existing tree too.
Wow. So everybody's going to learn this operation.
Yeah. So basically we've been doing a lot of these techniques on his property for the last 4 years. So it's really cool because there's 3-year-old branches that were grafted 3 years ago and mm-hmm. they're full of fruit already.
Oh, wow.
So you'll get to see the fruit on the branches that were grafted by basically the community. And so it's really, really cool. It's exciting, you know, because, you know, it's kind of one of those wonders, like what's going to happen when I put a twig from one tree onto another and, you know,
right.
and what's going to happen. So we'll show you what's going to happen and you can see. So
how long does it usually take for it to adhere to the host tree?
It's typically just a matter of a few months, really. Okay. Yeah, no, they fuse together right away. And the trees naturally form a callus that's like a wound that basically is durable, and once it's fused, you take off the tape that you put on to fuse it with, and then it just turns into a branch on a tree. So,
and then you just said this one took 3 years to produce fruit, or
yeah,
it?
Well, that's the cool part. So yeah. If you have a tree that doesn't produce fruit, or it's got a variety that doesn't belong on the coast, which many times happens,
yeah.
Instead of removing that whole tree, what you can do is basically cut the target variety off and then graft onto that rootstock at any point in the tree, really. It just depends on the circumference of the branch. You can cut it all the way to the ground, or you can cut at a branch that's, you know, a head height, and you basically graft into the bark. And so what that allows you to do is that existing rootstock that tree has been putting into the ground, and you can basically tap into that rootstock, which is usually a big rootstock because it's been in the ground for a few years, well established, has tons of nutrients. So as soon as you graft onto one of those older trees, your scion wood, which is the wood that you grafted onto there, will grow at an accelerated rate, uh-huh. which means you'll get fruit faster than if you were to graft on a brand new tree and plant it in the ground. So, you know, when you plant a brand new young tree, you're looking at 4 years before you're going to get fruit. If you graft onto an existing tree, mm-hmm. you can get fruit in 2-3 years.
Wow.
So you're basically tapping into a network of roots that are already in the ground. So your growth is much more vigorous. So that's the cool part about grafting onto older trees.
Yeah. So everybody who's listening right now, let's tell them where to go to sign up.
So you can contact me directly through the email, fogwoodworking@gmail.com. And we're just RSVPing for this event. It's limited space, but it's free. So anybody who wants to learn about this, Dick will also be covering some summer pruning techniques as well as overall fruit tree maintenance. And we're just going to geek out about permaculture and show people how to create these resilient landscapes that provide, you know, a multitude of food and resources for the humans that live there, but also provide wildlife habitat and clean water and build soil and, mm-hmm. and all these cool permaculture concepts that I think most of the community should really start embracing.
So. I think you're right. So how many trees does Dick have, fruit trees?
Oh,
you know?
Man, it's a 4-acre lot. He's been planting it for 17 plus years. Uh-huh. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many trees are on this property. It's incredible.
Yeah.
There are so much. You're talking fruit trees, walnut trees, berry bushes. I mean, all kinds of natives. I mean, it's an amazing array of plants that he's been putting on that landscape. And the purpose of permaculture is to create these ecological systems. They're systems that are based on relationships between not only the structures on the property, but the plants and the purposeful juxtaposition of all these elements on the landscape that basically create communities that are much more productive than conventional gardens. So really, it's a way of creating ecosystems on your property that are much more productive, not only for the humans, mm-hmm. but for the wildlife. And like I said, you know, making the soil better and mm-hmm. building soil and minimizing water runoff and regenerating, you know, food.
I ask you, I know a lot of people keep worms. Do you ever talk about the soil itself and using worms as your... friend.
Yeah, definitely. Permaculture design, you know, encompasses tons of different fields and techniques. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've hosted a number of workshops. One of our members, Kelly Compost, who's mm-hmm. known in the community, is a composting kind of fanatic. And she teaches workshops regularly on how to use worms in the landscape and in your kitchen to digest your food. And definitely worms are a very, very important part of soil health. And that is definitely covered in many of the topics that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And Kelly could potentially be offering another workshop this summer. So we'll keep you guys posted. But we're on Facebook, so if you like mm-hmm. our events page, join our group on Facebook. There's also an event for this month's meeting, mm-hmm. so go to that, check that out.
And again, it's at 5:30?
It's at 5:30 next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday.
The day after 4th of July.
The day after 4th of July. So sign up with me, just email me, and I'll take your info and tell you exactly how to get there. So.
Now, is the Humboldt Permaculture Guild, is it a members guild?
Well, what I like to say is that everybody listening is a member, okay. and then we have a steering committee of more dedicated community members who basically guide the guild in its mission. There's no membership required. Just showing up and being part of the discussion is basically the membership. And we meet once a month. It's the first Tuesday of every month. And then during the summer, we do a more educational kind of stuff. And then towards the end of the fall, we redirect our energy into organizing the annual seed and plant exchange, mm-hmm. and then also the fruit tree and scion exchange. And so for everybody listening out there, the seed and plant exchange is always the last Saturday in March. And the fruit tree and scion exchange is before that. And it's always the second Saturday in February. And so this next year, 2017, it's going to be February 11th. So mark your calendars for the fruit tree and scion exchange. And that'll be the fourth annual. And it's every year it's growing exponentially. It's amazing. So look out for those two events. And then continue to offer educational workshops as time goes on. So just keeping the community plugged in and energized and giving them a source of material.
What's on the docket for August?
It's in the works.
It's in the works. So you don't know yet.
Yeah.
Or do you take ideas from people who show up?
By all means, yeah. No, I mean, at this point, we're all volunteer community organization, uh-huh. and it's all based on whoever shows up. So if there's anybody that has energy out there or skill to share, uh-huh. By all means contact us, and be part of the discussion and help us come up with new ideas of educational programs mm-hmm. that we can offer, because sky's the limits, really. It's just a matter about who shows up.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Seems like if people have land too, it'd be a great place and you're open to it to go practice the skills that
you know the truth is that in Humboldt County, unfortunately, uh-huh. people are really particular about having people on their land for various reasons.
Right.
So we are very grateful when residents in the community who do have land and don't have nothing to hide can offer that as a teaching learning space, because we really need to come together in this day and age and share our ideas, our land, our resources. Mm-hmm. And so through the Permaculture Guild, I hope to just continue that bridge building in the community and being able to do that, because there is a lot of people out here doing some really fun stuff, and some people have been doing it for a long time, and so I take a lot of leadership from those elders that have been working the land for a long time, for sure.
Marlon Gill, thank you so much for coming in. We're out of time. Give your email again for everybody.
So fogwoodworking@gmail.com. So yeah, just get a hold of me if you want to come to this event, or if you have any ideas, or you want to be part of the steering committee. We'd love to have you. We're always looking for new energy. So yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.